I'm speaking today with David Rosen, who is running for Harris County Department of Education at-large trustee position 3. David, first question, why are you running for this office?
For three specific reasons. I want to bring more vocational education and job training into the juvenile justice system. The HCDE has a wide array of services ranging from Head Start to adult education, but its bread and butter are five campuses with about 1,500 kids that have all been expelled from their own school districts. There are 26 school districts that feed into these five schools. And I believe that some of these kids wouldn't have made mistakes if they felt like they had a tangible future that they could reach toward and had some job skills and a belief in themselves and the self-esteem and self-worth that comes with knowing they have a career path. That's the first reason I'm running.
Let me interrupt to clarify. These are separate from the disciplinary alternate education programs that like HISD has.
That's right. HISD has the CEP program,
right,
which is a public-private partnership. And they basically subcontract out their stuff to CEP. ALEAF is another big-ish school district. It's where I grew up. They have their own alternative center. They have the Alternative Learning Center. So they don't have a relationship with HCD.
I just wanted to clarify that. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. And the second thing I'd like to do is explore a public-private partnership to create a high school for energy professions. We have one for law enforcement. We have one for performing arts. We have one for medical professions. If we could find an oil company that'll pay $1 million for a fireworks display on the 4th of July, I bet we could find investors for a project like this, a magnet school for energy professions. And then finally, as the son of two openly gay public school teachers who have been together for the past 25 years and haven't been able to share health insurance for one day of their lives together, I want to bring same-sex partner benefits to the teachers and employees at HCDE.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about what HCDE does. You've mentioned a couple of things, but I think a lot of people aren't terribly familiar with the Harris County Department of Education. They're much more familiar with, HISD or their local school board. Give me a brief overview of what it is HCDE does.
The HCDE is a tremendous resource for local school districts, and it does everything from providing purchasing agreements to Head Start to adult education to basically serving as the JJAEP of Harris County for kids that haven't committed violent crimes but have still gotten in trouble. There are 1,500 employees, and there are about 1,500 students. And there are five physical campuses plus the administration building.
Okay. And what is your background in education? Not everyone who's involved with or who's running for a position on HCDE is or has been a professional educator. What experience do you have in education?
That's right. Both my parents are teachers, and they have been all of my life. So I grew up talking about education policy at the dinner table, and it's something that I care about very much. I'm a product of the public schools. All the way from kindergarten through my undergraduate degree, I'm a student body president at UH, and I have a lot of experience with higher education policy.
Okay. Can you recall any situation where one of your parents interacted with HCDE or took advantage of one of its programs?
My mom is a special education teacher at Pin Oak Middle School, and that's about as close as she ever got to these special needs kids. I haven't ever asked her if she's directly interacted with HCDE, no.
Do you think the HCDE does a good job of communicating what it does and what programs it makes available to schools?
That's the single biggest failure of Dr. Sawyer's leadership. He's the superintendent. You have a huge governmental entity out there, 1,500 employees, and very few people, rank and file, know it exists. Know what it does, and already there's a drumbeat on the Republican side to abolish it altogether. To maintain steady revenue, the board was asked to raise taxes the equivalent of 36 cents a year per homeowner in Harris County, and that was voted down. 36 cents a year was voted down because the Republican Party filled the room. There were a few people, Barry Klein, Larry Lane, the usual suspects that showed up and just talked one after another about how taxes are a bad thing in general and we should just get rid of this governmental entity. As long as the political climate is conservative and hostile towards public education, and particularly funding public education, the HCDE is on a collision course with more and more people calling for it to be abolished altogether, unless it becomes more high profile and unless it engages in a campaign of letting more people know what it does and why it's important.
And how would you, as a trustee, try to achieve that?
Well, I think I've already brought some awareness to young people in particularly that are following my campaign that had never heard of this entity before. When you talk about PR and marketing, it needs to be a cultural adjustment. You need to approach your business or approach yourself, your daily life, as if you're constantly aware of what people see and what people observe in you. The HCDE has done a terrible job of promoting itself, and it's done a terrible job of engaging the community in regards to why it's important and why it's there and what it does. As I said earlier, very few rank and file voters even know it exists.
I mean, do you see a role for, social media and other non-traditional?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of ways to fix this, right? The most drastic would be to replace a superintendent with somebody that's more media conscious. Or a better cheerleader, at least. A PR campaign or a social media presence would go a long way, I think, with an entity that very few people know exists or what it does.
Well, since you brought it up, do you think the superintendent needs to be replaced?
I haven't made up my mind firmly one way or another on that. If I was on the board today, based on what I know of Dr. Sawyer, I would not vote to renew his contract.
And what other than the communication issues you discussed?
He's been there for 9 years, the political climate, or 8 or 9 years, I think, and the political climate has gotten to the point where people need to stand up for public education. I don't think he's being vocal or loud enough about that. If you go to a board meeting, you'll see Dr. Sawyer commandeers these meetings. He steers the discussion of the board. He steers the way people vote one way or another. Rather than the other way around, the board should be in control of the superintendent rather than the superintendent being in control of the board. I know Jim Henley in the past in particular has voiced concerns about Dr. Sawyer. He and, ironically enough, Michael Wolff were the only two people that voted not to renew Dr. Sawyer's contract.
For different reasons,
yeah,
I presume.
Totally different reasons, yeah.
HCDE doesn't do a very good job communicating with the public. Does it do a good job communicating with the school districts that also take advantage of its services?
I think that's one thing that they're doing right. There are very creative purchasing agreements with school districts, not just around the Houston area, but also in other states. See, in the 1800s, way back in the day, the HCDE and the Freemasons ran the public schools in Harris County. And then MSDs popped up, as we got more and more population, and ISDs popped up after Brown versus the Board of Education. And gradually, the HCDE was kind of just pushed to the wayside. And from what I've read about its history over the last 50 years or so, it's evolved in a way to survive. And there are certain programs that are very creative. The facilities program and being a subcontractor and a purchasing agent for a lot of local school districts, I think, there is some hope there, and this is an entity that does save taxpayers money in the long run through its purchasing agreements.
Where do you see opportunities for it to do a better job in terms of financial management?
Well, you're talking about, right now, every public entity that deals with public education in Texas is under attack. I'd like to think that the situation would change tomorrow where we have a more friendly state legislature or a more friendly local electorate for that matter. But you have to be on top of your game and you have to be as fiscally conservative as possible to survive as a public education system today. There's always room for improvement in a bureaucracy that big. You're talking 1,500 employees, there's always room for improvement.
Okay. You referenced the vote on the HCDE's tax rate a little while ago. As you said, it was not to increase revenues, but to maintain them.
Yeah.
Do you think the level of revenue that HCDE was getting before this vote went down was appropriate? Do you think it can do more with less, or that it needs more to do what it needs to do?
No, I think every public education system in Texas is underfunded right now. In an ideal world. I think every student-to-teacher ratio is too high, particularly with at-risk kids and special needs kids. See, the four campuses in particular that have the most student enrollment in the HCDE are two High Point campuses and then there are two ABC schools. Every one of these kids has been expelled or suspended from their own school district. Every one of these kids has a problem either in their homes or in their heads. The ABC schools in particular are set aside for special needs kids that have had disciplinary issues. These are the most vulnerable young people in our society. We could not invest too much in protecting them and nurturing them and trying to give them the skills so they can be productive members of our society rather than continue to make mistakes.
Okay. And so, I mean, if you had been on the board at the time...
I would have voted to raise taxes 36 cents. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah. I mean, but I guess my question is, would that be enough? Is there more than the... For the time being,
yeah, I think so. For the time being, for the next year. Let's reevaluate things, you know, as the economy improves, as real estate values go back up. I hope they go back up. You know, they can't go much farther down, I don't think.
No, I certainly hope not, and yeah. And quite a few other entities hope not, too.
Yeah.
I think you've covered just about most of the things I wanted to talk about, so you know, you are in a contested primary. Why should people vote for you when this primary is, whenever it is?
April 3rd or May.
Whenever, yeah. To be determined. Why should people vote for you and not for your opponent in this primary?
I'm not going to say anything negative about my opponent. I've told her that publicly and privately. I'm 26 years old. Come next November, I'll be 27. If I win the general election, I'll be the youngest countywide elected Democrat we've had in 40 years since John Whitmire was elected an at-large state representative in the 1970s. For the past 18 years, the Harris County Democratic Party has lost every countywide election, really except one, in 2008. Yeah, there were a couple aberrations in 94, there was one in 96. I think Hobby carried the county in 98. But other than that, we've lost every election in the past 18 years except one. It's time for some new blood in our party. And it's time to start investing in new candidates who are going to attract new groups of voters. I have something that nobody else does on the ticket in any race, and that's my youth. I can communicate to the millennials as one of them. And I hope people remember that going forward, that that's an important part of our coalition that's not as excited now as they were 4 years ago.
Okay. David Rosen, thank you very much for talking.
Thanks, man.